All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. We are beginning the fourth parak of Avodah Zarah. Today's daf is Nun 50. We are picking up at the Mishnah Mem Tes Amud Beis 49b. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. We'll say beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Shalosh Havanim Zu Bitzad Zu Bitzad Markolis Asuros Ushtaim Mutaros. Most of Rabbi Shmuel says the following. We're going to focus in the Mishnah over here on the Avodah Zarah known as Markolis. So remember again, we saw Markolis before. Markolis is an Avodah Zarah made up of three stones. Now normally the way the stones were piled were two and one on top. That was Markolis. So we'll say, the idea over here is, Rabbi Shmuel says, what if you find stones, other stones, three stones, by the side of Markolis? In other words, you have the Markolis idol, which Rabbi Shmuel says is a very simple idol if you think about it. By the way, we'll see later on, the Gemara Rashi is going to point out that the symbolism of that one stone on top of two stones is a head and arms. It represents just the most simplistic tzura of a body, of a pesel, of an idol. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Shalosh Havanim Zu Bitzad Zu. If you find three stones, right, lined up one next to the other, and Rabbi saying, now this is interesting. This is Rabbi Shmuel saying, even if they're not piled one on top of two, but it's just three across, Zu Bitzad Zu Bitzad Markolis, close to a Markolis, close to a regular Markolis. So what happens? Asuros. Rabbi Shmuel says that we assume that those three stones are part of the Markolis Avodah Zarah. So Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Bitzad Markolis. Rashi says, Markolis Godol Shekvar Avduhu V'zarku Alav Avanim Harbe. So let's say, we'll see whether Rabbi Shmuel means, remember, the way you worship Markolis is you throw stones at it. So whether Rabbi Shmuel is saying that those three stones are considered to be ultimately, so either a Markolis themselves, or perhaps stones that were thrown at Markolis, either way they're going to be Aser. Ushtai Mutaros. But if Lamaisa, I see, you could just use that Kimara here. But two stones next to it are going to be Mutar. Chachamim, Mem Tesam, Beis the Mishnah. The Chachamim say, Sheniros Imo Asuros. If the stones, so we'll say, so Sheniros Imo Asuros means, if those stones ultimately again are seen with it. Rashi says, first wide line in Rashi, Sheniros Imo, Diniros Shenaflu Misham Asuros Ben Gimel Ben Shtayim. So we'll say, if it appears, so this is interesting, this is the Rabbanan now, the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, that if the stones appear together with the Markolis, then what? Then ultimately they're going to be Aser. So we'll define all of these terms in just a little bit. V'she'in niros imo mutaros. But if the stones don't appear together with the Markolis, then ultimately again they're mutar. So we'll say, what the Chachamim seem to be saying is as follows. Sh'niros imo means that the stones appear to be part of Markolis. So Rashi points out over here that Sheniros Imo can mean Dinirish and Naflu Misham, that have the appearance that they fell off the Markolis. So we'll see the Chachamim really refer to proximity. That if the stones have proximity to the Markolis, then ultimately again they'll be considered part of the Markolis. If not, they're Mutter. So we'll say, so let's go weiter. So it says the Gemara. So fundamental Machlokis, Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. So we'll say again, remember, Rabbi Shmuel says, if there are three stones, Zu Bitzad Zu, in close proximity to the Markolis, I should say three stones next to each other, close to the Markolis, it's Aser, but two is Mutter. The Chachamim say, if the stones appear with the Markolis, then they are going to be Aser, but if they don't appear with the Markolis, they're going to be Mutter. We'll say, Gimara, then Tes Amud Beis. Bisham Rabbanan Kasari Ovdim Nishvarim Niros. So we'll say, according to the Rabbanan, it makes sense. The Rabbanan hold that Ovdei Avodah Zarah worship even pieces of idols, even Shvarim. So therefore, Niros Imo, the Ikal Amimar, Minei Nafal. Therefore, again, I will say, if the stones are close enough to the primary Markolis idol, then by definition, you could say the stones came from the Markolis idol. Shein Niros Imo Mutaros. But ultimately, again, if it appears that the stones are not part of the primary Markolis, then what? Then Lamais again, Mutar. And Rabbi Shmuel, Maika Savar. But what does Rabbi Shmuel hold? So if Rabbi Shmuel holds that Ovid Avodah Zarah worships even what? Even Shvarim, even pieces of Avodah Zarah, then even two stones should be Aser. So the Gemara says, E ain Ovdin Lishvarim, and if Ovdi Avodah Zarah do not worship pieces of an idol, then Afilu Tlas Nami Lo, then even three stones should not be problematic. So says the Gemara, Amar Yosef, Amar Yochanan, See, if you know that the stones definitely came from the Markalis, everybody will agree that it's Asur. And I will say, even according to the opinion who says that a Oved Kochavim doesn't normally worship pieces of Avodah Zarah, broken pieces of Avodah Zarah, that's only when it's not the normative form of Ahocha Demeikara Tavure Mitvari. But I will say, in this case over here, this is actually very interesting. When it came to the Avodah Zarah of Markalis, so Dafka, the stones were not cemented together. There are two stones on the bottom and then one on top of it. That was the Avodah Zarah. The stones were dafka, not cemented together. So in this case over here, you're by definition dealing with an Avodah Zarah of pieces. So please. So we'll say, so where do they argue? Bistama. So they argue in a case, so we'll say, where it's unknown. Is this a piece of Avodah Zarah or not? So top of Nun. We'll say top of Nun. 50A. So it says the Gemara is as follows. So we'll say, if the stones are close to the primary Markalis idol, and you could say that they came from the primary Markalis idol, when we say they came from the primary Markalis, what does that mean? We'll say, remember, sounds strange, but how do you worship the Markalis idol? How do you worship it? You throw stones at it. So we'll say, sounds like what do they call, like those carnival games? You know, like, we have to throw whatever. So, right, so you have the two stones, and you have a stone on top, and the way you worship it is you throw the stone at it. So says the Gemara, but Mikuravos, ultimately, again, where the scattered stones are close to the primary Markalis, the Ika Lameimar Mineinaf al Divriya Kol Asuros. Everyone will agree, therefore, that the scattered stones that are in close proximity to the primary Markalis idol definitely are part of the Avodah Zarah. So keep Ligi, where do they argue? Bimiruchakos. Where do they argue? Where ultimately, again, the scattered stones are further away from the primary Markalis idol. Vaha, so the Gemara says one second. Vaha b'tzad Markalis katani. But that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah is speaking about, again, b'tzad Markalis, stones that are found on the side of the Markalis, to which the Gemara says, my b'tzad. We'll say, what does it mean on the side of the Markalis? B'tzad arba amos dide. We'll say beside our amos, they means within four amos of the Markalis. So we'll say what we're beginning to see now is that stones found within Dalit Amos of the Markalis, again, have the potential to have a sheichas, to have a connection to the Markalis. So we'll say, you understand what this is about, right? Meaning, who cares? Who cares about this? So why does this matter? Why does this matter? I want to use the stones to build my house. I find some scattered stones. I want to use the stones to build my house. So both say, so again, the shaila is, can I use the stones or not? So here I find a bunch of nice stones, but they're in proximity to the Markalis idol. Can I use them or not? So we're trying to figure out what determines, or how could I determine if the stones are part of the Markalis Avodah Zarah, or they're just random stones. So already we're beginning to see that if the stones are found by Bitsad, so Bitsad means within Dalet Amos. If the stones are within Dalet Amos of the Markalis, then that already begins to paint the picture that these stones are in fact Avodah Zarah stones. So the Gemara says, my Bitsad, Bitsad Arba Amos, today, Rabbi Shmuel says, Osin Markalis Katan, Bitsad Markalis Gadol. Supposed to listen to this. So Rabbi Shmuel says that it was often the custom to do as follows. They would have the big Markalis idol, but then they would often make a smaller Markalis idol right next to the larger Markalis idol. Therefore, what? Osin Markalis katam etzad Markalis gadol, shalosh tedamyon lemarkalis asuros. So we'll say three stones. Now remember, as we said before, there are two ways that you would make a Markalis idol. What are the two ways? Either two stones on top of one, or I guess if you were in a rush, what would you do? Just three stones next to each other. Rabbi Shmuel says the derech of Markalis was they would have one primary Markalis idol, but often it was common to have a smaller Markalis idol next to the larger one. And the smaller one could have been a simpler Markalis idol, but it was just three stones, one next to the other. So listen to this. So therefore, shalosh tadami la Markalis asuros, shtai mutaros. So we'll say, oh, now we're beginning to understand the shitos over here. So we'll say, now, what does Rabbi Shmuel say? Rabbi Shmuel says, if you have a primary Markalis idol, and you find three stones within Dalet Amos of that primary Markalis idol, and those three stones are even just aligned one next to the other, Rabbi Shmuel says, those three stones are asur. Why? Why? What do you have to assume that is? That is not just the throne stones, but what? That's a mini Markalis. Mini Markalis, right? That's a mini Markalis. But again, that's if it's three stones and in proximity, right? But if it's only two stones, we'll say then that's no longer a mini Markalis. Rabbanon say no. Ain osin markalis katos and markalis gadol. Losh na shalosh, losh na shtayim. So we'll say the Rabbanon say no. They're arguing on like avodah zarah metzias. The Rabbanon say no. It wasn't the custom to make a small markalis next to the large markalis. So if Rabbanon say for the Rabbanon, if you find stones next to the markalis, what do you have to be choshesh for? That those stones were used for what? For actual throwing. So therefore, the Rabbanon say like this. So we'll say in the Rabbanon's model, the number of stones makes what we see. In Rabbi Ishmael's model, the number makes a difference. Why? Because what is Rabbi Ishmael choshesh for? Rabbi Ishmael is choshesh for a small markalis in proximity to a large markalis. So therefore, the only time that you choshesh is if you find three stones and it's in proximity to the larger markalis. But if it's not three stones, then you don't have to worry about anything. The Rabbanon is saying, no, people didn't make a smaller markalis next to a larger markalis. What you have to be choshesh for are stones that were used in the worship of the markalis. So what's the determinant of that? Niros imo asuros, shein niros imo mutaros. The Rabbanon will say what? The Rabbanon will say, ultimately, again, you have to gauge this based on how it appears to you. Does it appear that the stones that are close to the markalis were stones that were thrown at the markalis, therefore were used in avodah zarah, ultimately again and then asr or not? So we'll say this is very interesting. You see, in the Rabbanon's model seems to be a bit more imprecise than Rabbi Yishmael's model. But nevertheless, this is the fundamental machlokes between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yishmael. It's an interesting machlokes. Rabbi say, it sounds funny, but they're arguing it's a machlokes in how you worship avodah zarah. That's the machlokes. Rabbi Yishmael says they would often make a smaller markalis next to a larger markalis. Therefore, if you find a three-rock formation within Dalet Amos of the larger markalis, that three-rock formation is going to be usher. Two rocks won't be usher because that's not a mini markalis. The Rabbanon say they didn't build a mini markalis next to a larger markalis, and if you find stones in proximity to the larger markalis, those stones will be usher. But only if what? Only if what? Only if someone has the appearance that it was used ultimately again to be thrown at the larger markalis. So again, the ambiguity in the Rabbanon Rabbo says obviously you need proximity, but you also have to be able, I guess, to gauge whether or not it was actually used in the worship of the larger avodah zarah. Good. Amar Mar, biyadua shenishru mimenu divrei hakol asura. So let's listen to this. So we said before, when it is known that the stones literally came from the markalis, were thrown at the markalis, come from the markalis, everyone agrees that what? That they will be usher. Or minhu. So let's analyze this. Avalim shenishru min markalis. So we'll say, if you have stones which came from the markalis, literally shenishru means, so we'll say, that fell off the markalis, which bepashtos means they were stones that were thrown at the markalis, and therefore come from the markalis. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So, or minhu. Avalim shenishru min markalis. Niros imo asuros. If the stones, so we'll say, have the appearance of coming from the markalis, then they're usher. She'in niros imo mutaros. We'll say, if they appear that they're not from the markalis, then they're mutter. So we'll say, this is the sheet of the Rabbanon. Right? This is the sheet of the Rabbanon. That everything is about nira. Does it have the appearance that these were stones used to worship markalis or not? Rabbi Shmuel says, shalosh asuros, shtayim mutaros. Rabbi Shmuel says, three stones in proximity to the markalis will be usher, like we said before, because of the mini markalis issue. Two will be mutter. Amar Rava. So Rava says, lo tema shenishru, ela ima shenimtsu. So we'll say, ultimately, again, don't read it as shenishru, rather, again, read it as nimtsu. That ultimately, again, they were found. I will say that there is the nimtsu and nishru, as Rashi points out, nishru means biadua. Ultimately, again, it was known. Obviously, if it was known, everybody will agree. The case that we're dealing with, Rabbi says, that what? Stones are found in proximity to the markalis, but the status of those stones, of course, is not immediately known. Therefore, again, a person ultimately, again, just has to make the assessment according to the Rabbanon. Does it appear they were used for markalis or not? But I will say, is that true that Rabbi Shmuel holds? That if you only find two stones in close proximity to the markalis, that it'll be mutter? But we learned, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shtayim b'tfisa lo asuros, shalosh afilu meruchakos asuros. So listen to this braisa. Rabbi Shmuel holds that if you find two stones b'tfisa, I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over v'atayin Rabbi Shmuel omer shtayim b'tfisa lo ustam tfisa dalet amos v'katani asuros. I will say, tfisa literally means to hold on to something. So the Braisa seems to be saying as follows, that Rabbi Shmuel holds that if you find two racks, bitfisa, which seems to mean within dalet amos of the markalis, right, within grasp of the markalis, within dalet amos of the markalis, that's going to be usser. Three stones, even further than tfisa achas, even further than dalet amos, let me say that again. The Mishnah holds that if you find two stones within tfisa, within dalet amos of the idol, it will be usser. Three stones, even further than dalet amos, will be usher as well, because as we said before, that'll be the mini markalis. So you see there to be shmo holds that even two stones is problematic. Amarava lo kasha. Rabbo said that contradicts the Mishnah. Because what did the Mishnah say? According to Rabbi Shmuel, only three stones seem to be problematic. Two are not. So Rabbi says it's not a kasha. Kan b'tfisa achos, kan b'shtei tfisos. Rabbi says, listen to this. One is talking about tfisa achos, one is about two tfisos. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. B'tfisa achos. Rabbi says, almost right across from Agos Habach. So, b'tfisa achos. Hadik tani asura b'tfisa achos, shein hefsek b'inam l'markalis. V'asura b'in Rabbi Shmuel b'in Rabban. L'chol toch dalet ames niros imo karlei. The Gemara suggests as follows. If ultimately, again, you find rocks within dalet amos of the Markalis, everyone will agree that those rocks are considered to be part of the Markalis itself and will be usher even just two rocks. Once you get further away, that's where the Machlokias occurs. Once you get outside of dalet amos, in that case, Rabbi Shmuel holds, only a formation of three rocks will be problematic. The Rabbanon will say it's not really a question of distance, it's a question of does it have the appearance that the rocks that you find were used in the service of Markalis. If the answer to that is yes, then even if it's more than dalet amos away, those stones will be problematic. V'hechi dami, I will say, what's the case? Di'ika gova beni ubeni. This is actually interesting. The case will be where there is a mound in between the markalis and the stones that you find. Look at Rashi, di'ika gofa, tell, mafsik beinam le markalis, dahavalu kimeruchakos, deleka le meimar minei naflo, hilchoch, Rabbi Shmuel, shtayim mutaras ala gimel asuros, deosin markalis katan betzer markalis katan. Both listen to this. So therefore, let's say you have a mound of earth in between the markalis and the stones that you find. So also in Rabbi Shmuel's model, if you just find two stones, so then again, those stones will not be problematic. Why? Because they can't be anything connected to the primary markalis. If you find three stones, it's going to be problematic. Why? Because also remember Rabbi Shmuel's model, how do you worship markalis? You have a large markalis and then what? A mini markalis, right? Far, not, just close by. Even if there's a mound in between, that's okay, because that mini markalis is still connected to the larger markalis and therefore will be usher. Umarkalis ki agavna mihavi. So we'll say, does markalis actually work this way? Rashi says, ki agavna zubitzadzu. So we'll say, this is interesting. What the Gemara is saying is as follows. That Rabbi Shmuel's entire Shita Rabosa is based on this idea. Primary markalis is made how? Right? One stone on top, two stones on the bottom. That's markalis. In Rabbi Shmuel's model, he says that even if you find three stones one side by side, that's also mini markalis. People would make markalis like that as well. So Gemara says, really? Would people actually make markalis like that? So markalis ki agavna mihabi v'atanya, we learned eluhein base avnikulius. We'll say these. How do you know if you have stone? We'll say base avnikulius is markalis. This is how you know if you have stones of markalis. Achas mikan v'achas mikan v'achas al gabehen. We'll say two on the bottom and one on top. That's markalis. Amarava, so we'll say, see from here that what? Markalis is not three stones side by side, it's two stones and one on top. Amarava, kitanya hahi be'ikr markalis. We'll say, ultimately, again, this is when you are making ikr markalis. Look at Rashi, ikr markalis, Rashi is trilaso. So we'll say, it's like, you know, you have primary markalis and you have travel markalis, right? So travel markalis, which we'll say, you have to understand something. So the way Avodah Zarah works, is Avodah Zarah, this is going to sound very strange, but like the chap of it, or a little bit of the, I'm going to use this word, but it's not the beauty of it, but I don't mean it, is that it's simple and easy. That was the idea of Avodah Zarah. The ability to have your deity with you, and the ability to worship. Now we have the same thing. We have the same thing. We can worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu anywhere and everywhere. Now, we do that because ultimately, again, there is no physicality to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I don't need a physical medium. Ovdei Avodah Zarah wanted the same chab, the ability to worship their God wherever they were. So Markus, suppose if you think about it, is the easiest Avodah Zarah. It's three rocks, two and one. So that was a primary Markus. The Gemara is just suggesting over here, there's the Ikar Markus, but there's a travel mini Markus. So I didn't take travel mini Markus with you. Pocket Markus, right? So I'll say, so what do you do? Meaning pocket Markus is just three stones lay out, because you know, sometimes it takes an extra few seconds to balance two and then one. So again, three stones side by side, that's Markulis. That's Markulis also. But so listen to this. Bei Yanai Malka Charov. So it happened that the palace of King Yanai, right? King Yanai was one of the Hashmonai kings. So the palace of King Yanai was destroyed. So I'll say what happens. Asu of the Kochav Mokimu Bei Markulis. So both said, this is actually a really fascinating case. So what happened? So Ovdei Kochavim came, and they set up Markulis. So they took over the palace of Yanai, and they went ahead and they set up Markulis. Asu Ovdei Kochavim Machrini, the lo palchi le Markulis. So both say, so what happens? New Ovdei Kochavim came in, they didn't like Markulis, right? They don't daven at that shul. So what happens? So they come in, Rabosei, they come in, and what happens? Shaklinu, so listen to what they did, Rabosei. So they saw Markulis, they don't like Markulis, so what do? They took out the stones, and they decided to shaklinu v'chipu bahen drachim v'sartios. Rabosei, listen to this. They took out the Markulis stones, and what do? They paved the roads. They paved the roads and high, because it was said Markulis is good stones. That's good. That's good quarried stone. So they took the stones of Markulis. They paved the roads and the highway. So it was said, now what's the Shaila? So Ikir Abanan de Parshi, the Ikir Abanan de Lo Parshi. It was said, listen to this. So now the fundamental Shaila was, are Jews allowed to use these roads? Right, the Ovdei Kochavim, again, Rabosei, the new Ovdei Kochavim, the stronger ones who didn't worship Markulis, took the Markulis stones, paved the roads, paved the highway. So the Shaila was, could the Jew take this road or not? Supposed to listen to this. So there were some rabbis who took the road, some rabbis who didn't take the road, right? Well, so there are times throughout Jewish history where not all Rabbanim agreed on things, right? There are very few periods of that, but it did happen throughout our history. So Ikir Rabbanim de Parshi, the literal means there are some rabbis who separated from these roads, the Ikir Rabbanim de Lo Parshi, some Rabbanim who didn't separate from these roads. So listen to this. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Benon shal kidoshim mahali chalein va'ana nifrosh mehen. So Rabbi Yochanan says, literally, the son of the holy ones, he's making reference to some great rabbi, the son of the holy ones didn't separate from it. The son of the holy ones goes ahead and takes the road, and we should separate? Rabbi Yochanan was saying, there's a great person who travels these roads. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. Who is the one who's called the son of the holy ones? Rabbi Menachem and Rabbi Simoi. He was the son of the holy ones. Ultimately, why is he called the son of the holy ones? Listen to this. He wouldn't even look at the graven image on a coin. In other words, he was so meticulous to avoid anything to do with Avodah Zarah that Imamish wouldn't even look at the image on a coin. Because images on coins sometimes were monarchs, sometimes were rulers, but sometimes were deities. But he wouldn't look at graven images, even the image on currency. So we'll say, even Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Simoi, who was Benon Shel Kedoshim, ultimately again, who would not look at graven images, felt that it was okay to take this road. If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. So says the Gemara, well, let's analyze this. We'll say, this is really fascinating. My time demanded parish. So we'll say, what was the logic of the rabbis who wouldn't take these roads? Savarla, ki hada amrav gidol amrav chia bar Yosef. We'll say, first white line in the bottom of Nun Amad Aleph. Because they held the Rav Gidol, so they were chia bar Yosef. Amrav, minan takrov esafalos kom she'in la betela olamis. We'll say, how do we know that Avod Zara is never batal? It's never batal. Eina betela olamis. So it says the Gemara, look at Rashi, minayin l'takroves, v'hani takroves ninu, da'azorik even l'markulis, zui avodaso hilchach, lavavodos kom atzmahi, t'tiski l'abibito. They will say, now this is actually very interesting. The Gemara is assuming that the stones that they took were lav dafka actual markulis stones, meaning not, they didn't have to be the stones of the idol itself. It's possible that they were what? The stones that were thrown, we'll call it the worship stones. So we'll say that worship stones are called takroves. Those are items with which Avodah Zarah was worshipped. So how do we know that essentially an offering to Avodah Zarah is never bottled. It can never lose its Avodah Zarah identity. Where do we know that from? Shneamar, Vayitzmedu leBaal Peor, Vayochlu Zivchei Mesim. But say they worshipped Baal Peor, and they ate literally, again, offerings of the dead. So you see, we've seen this a number of times, that Avodah Zarah is compared to corpses. Ma Meis Ein Lo B'Tei Li'olam. But say, just like Tumas Meis is never bottled. In other words, a corpse never stops being bottle. A corpse is always tame. That Tumas Meis is never bottle. Af takrovis avodas kochavim ein la betela liolam. So it's Rabbi say offerings of Avodah Zarah are never bottle as well. So therefore Rabbi say there was a whole group of rabbis who said you can't take these roads. Why? Because these are miraculous stones. These were stones that were quite possibly and probably used to worship Avodah Zarah. Their identity as Avodah Zarah worship items is never batal. Walking on the road is benefiting from them, and you're not allowed to do that. Therefore, they would not take the road. Uman de lo parish. So, listen to this. This is actually fascinating. What about the ones who did not separate, who did use the roads? What was their logic? Amar ba'ina ke'en pnim v'laka. They said that in order for something to go ahead and become usher, because it was used in the offering of Avodah Zarah, an offering to Avodah Zarah, Bosai, is only usher if it resembles an offering that we do inside the Beis HaMikdash. Look at Rashi just a moment. Ke'en pnim, zvachim sheba mikdash hu dahabi takrovis. So Bosai, it is only if an offering to Avodah Zarah resembles an offering that we do in our Beis HaMikdash that it becomes usher. Ke'edichsev zoveach le'elokim yecheram, Bilti or Zoveach Lelohim Yacharam, Bilti La Hashem Levado. Literally, one who offers to a god will be killed, except to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Alma, Dome Kilifnim Kari Zevach, Avodas Kochavim, the Avonim Ein Ovdin Lamifnim. So let's listen to this. So the fact that the Torah says you can only worship, you can't worship other gods like you worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells that the only time I'm chayiv for Avodah Zarah, we'll say is when my service to Avodah Zarah resembles something that we do inside the Beis HaMikdash. But if what I do for Avodah Zarah does not resemble that which is done in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not called worship of Avodah Zarah. Now we're going to define the scope of this in just a little bit. But also, the act of throwing rocks, does it resemble anything that we do in the Beis HaMikdash?
No.
Therefore what? Therefore again, rocks thrown from Markulis, the Gemara suggests, do not become usher as takrovis Avodah Zarah. Do not become usher as an offering to idolatry. And this was the logic of the rabbis who took the roads. So the Gemara said, Bosai, so again, fundamental machlokes, incredible machlokes, right? Incredible machlokes about whether or not, I will say, you have to imagine, by the way, that this type of situation must have happened because Ovdei Avodah Zarah often switched. We know this historically, often switched from one thing to the next. So, you know, when you went from one Avodah Zarah fad to another, so it must have been you had a lot of Avodah Zarah materials. So what do you do with that, right? So the contractors get to work. You've got the stone, you've got this wood, you've got all this stuff. You use it. So Mamish, they had roads that were made from items formerly used for idolatry. So can you take it or not? Some major machlokas. Some rabbanim said yes, some rabbanim said no. Amar Rav Yosef bar Abba, Ikla Rabba bar Yemriya la Asrin. So listen to this. We'll say Rav Yosef bar Abba said, Rabba one time came to our town. Va'osa aisei masnisa biyadei. He brought with him a Mishnah. And the following. Ovid kochavim shevi avonim in Amarkalis. If an Ovid kochavim brought stones with him from Amarkalis, v'chipa b'hen drachim v'tartios, and he used those stones to pave the roads and the highways, he will say, no, mudbeis, muteres. Ultimately, again, it is mutter. Right? The Bosai, what does it mean, it's mutter? That a Jew could use those roads. Now, why, Bosai? Because if the Ovid kochavim is taking his own Avodah Zarah, and what? Building it into road, then what is he doing? He's being mevatalit. Rabbi Yossi, remember again, we have discussed that Ovid Kochavim has the ability to be mevatal his own Avodah Zarah. So, Rashi, Mutarot, the Batlun of the Kochavim. Oh, watch this. But if a Jew took stones from Merkulis and what? Went ahead and used them to pave roads and highways, then what? Asuros. Right? Asuros. The roads are Asur. The roads are Asur. Now, when Rava came along, when Rabbi Yirmiyah came along and he said this over, he said, Veles Nagar Velo Bar Nagar Giparkine. And we'll say Nagar literally is a carpenter, right? A carpenter was often the name for a Talmud Chacham, right? The Talmud Chacham takes raw materials and creates beautiful things from it. So Rabbi said there's not a Talmud Chacham or a son of a Talmud Chacham who knows how to go ahead and interpret this properly. Look at Rashi just a moment. Nagar ben Nagar, Chacham ben Chacham. Amar Rav Sheshes, Ana lo Nagar Ana, velo Bar Nagar Ana. So again, Rav Sheshes says, I am not the Talmud Chacham, and I'm not the son of a Talmud Chacham. Upar Kinele, and the truth is, I think I could interpret this Mishnah. My Koshele, right? So we'll say, what's the Shaila over here? To Rav Gidol. Ultimately, again, I will say, because it could just be that this is reflecting the view of Rav Gidol. In other words, why is it that if the Ovid Kochavim goes ahead and builds it into the road, that it's okay? So I will say, you could look at it as just a simple case of Bittul, but again, the case of Bittul only works if, what I will say, if Halacha Lamaisa, it's the person who worshipped it, is Mevatal it. But ultimately, if it's an Ovid Kochavim who doesn't subscribe to this, then that's not Bittul. If that's the case, then why would it work? As Rav Gidol said before, so what did Rav Gidol say? The only time something is Asra Alt Takroves is when the form of worship of Avodah Zarah mirrors something we did in the Beis HaMikdash. But if it doesn't mirror that which we did in the Beis HaMikdash, then Aloch Lamaisa doesn't become Asra Alt Takroves. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Abba. Fine. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Abba. Amar Rav. So we'll say, again, so just so you understand, so Lamaisa, it appears that even though we say that which is used in the service of the base of Avodah Zarah becomes Aser, and that Iser is forever until the person who worshipped it is Mevatel it, apparently the Iser Takrov is something only becomes Aser as an offering to Avodah Zarah if it somehow, some way resembles that which we did in the Beis HaMikdash. But if it doesn't resemble that which we did in the Beis HaMikdash, then it doesn't become Aser. Now we're going to qualify this just a little bit more. Let's go back to Amar Rav Yosef. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Abba. Ikla Rabbi Rav Yemira Lasrin. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Abba. Ikla Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah Le'asrin. One time Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah came to our city. Va'asa aisi masnisa v'yadeh. He brought to them a Mishnah. Brought to them a teaching. Masliyin u'mizamin b'shvias. Let's listen to this. Masliyin means you're allowed to deworm. You could deworm wood. Right? You could deworm a tree. You could deworm wood on Shemitah. But say mizamin is very interesting. If you look at Rashi, mizamin, it's the last wide line on the top of Rashi. Kishyesh maka be'ilon b'nishra ketzas klipaso. When there's some type of wound, some type of damage to a tree, or some type of, it's not really damage, it's the tree has an illness, it's the wrong word. Disease. There's some type of disease in the tree. So we'll say, so what happens? B'nishra ketzas klipaso. That's shown ultimately again by some of the bark. Some of the outside of the tree starts falling off. Matbikin sham zevel. This is actually interesting. They would put some type of manure on the tree. The koshrin. And the boss said they would bandage the area. They bandage the area. Shelo yamos, that the tree shouldn't die. Velo dami hai lushas, fine. So listen to this, the boss says. So Rabbi comes along and he says the following. That maslina mazan b'shiyas. So we'll say on Shemitah, even though you're not permitted to go ahead and what? You're not permitted to go ahead and work the land, but you could deworm a tree, and you could treat tree disease. Ve'ein maslin u'mizam emoy. We'll both say, on Chol HaMoed, you can't go ahead and deworm the tree, nor can you treat tree disease. So the Gemara says, kan v'kan, both on Chol HaMoed as well as on Shemitah, ein megazmin, you can't prune the tree, v'sochin shemen l'gazim, but if branches were pruned, you could put oil on the branches. So we'll say, apparently, after you pruned a tree, it was common to go ahead and put oil, I guess, on the edges of the tree, somehow just to make sure the tree was okay. Beit b'moed being b'shvius. And you could do that ultimately, again, both on Chol HaMoed as well as Shemitah. V'les nagar v'lo bar nagar deparkine. And again, it wasn't a Talmud Chacham, or a son of a Talmud Chacham, who could explain this particular teaching. So Amar Ravina, Ravina came along and said, one second, anan v'lo nagar v'ana v'lo bar nagar ana. I'm not a Nagar, right? I'm not a Talmud Chacham, I'm not some Talmud Chacham, and yet what? And I could answer this. Makakasha will say, so what's the problem over here that needs to be answered? So we'll say, if your problem is that you don't understand the difference in practices between Chol HaMoed and Shemitah. So we'll say, remember again, what did we start by saying? We started by saying that on Shemitah, you're permitted to go ahead and deworm, as well as treat tree disease. Yet what? On Chol HaMoed, you can't deworm or treat tree disease. So if you're bothered by that distinction, why is it on Shemitah these things are mutter and on Chol HaMoed is asr? That's easy. Me dummy, shviyas malacha asr achmana, tircha shari. So we'll say, here's the issue. On Shemitah, the only thing you're not allowed to do, Rabbi say, is what? You're not allowed to work the land. In other words, Rabbi say, you can't engage in productive work of the land. You can stave off loss. That's your, which Rabbi say, is effectively what you're doing over here. You're staving off loss. By deworming the tree, by treating tree disease, you're preventing the tree from dying. So we'll say, on Shvias, the only thing you're not allowed to do is malacha. You're not allowed to do active productive work. But tircha, but exertion is permitted. Moed, afilu tircha nami aser. We'll say, on Chol HaMoed, we'll say, it's not just a din in malacha. It's a din in what? It's a din in tircha. Therefore, by definition, anything which involves exertion, which is unnecessary for the moed itself, will be usr. Therefore, even deworming or treating tree disease will be usr. The elazium agizum kakashile. Rather, I know what your question is. Your question is ultimately, again, regarding zium. We'll say, remember, zium means treating tree disease versus pruning. Right? So you're allowed to treat tree disease on Shemitah, yet you can't prune. Why not? So the Gemara says, "Maishna zium deshariu maishna gizum deaser." Why is it that during Shemitah, treating tree disease is mutter, but yet what? Pruning is aser. So the Gemara says, "It's obvious. Mi dami zium ukmi ilana v'shari gizum ivruye ilana v'aser." Rabbi says, "There's a difference. Zium, treating tree disease, Rabbi says, is there to what? Is there to go ahead and stave off loss? If you don't treat the tree disease, what happens? What happens? The tree dies. Masha'inkim pruning, Rabbi says, what's the point of pruning? Pruning, if you don't prune, will the tree die? No. What does pruning do, Rabbi Yossi? Pruning allows the tree to be more vibrant. So therefore, again, on Shemitah, you're allowed to do things, Rabbi Yossi, to prevent loss. So if I don't treat the tree disease, the tree will die. But pruning, Rabbi Yossi, which is not there to prevent loss, pruning, which is there to allow the tree to be more vibrant, that I'm not allowed to do. That lezium azim kakashle. Asmei Rabbi Yossi, maybe what your shayla is like this. Why is it that ultimately treating tree disease is permitted on Shemitah, be it it's going to be usher during Chol HaMoed? Diktani maslinu mezamin b'shvias. So I'll say ultimately again it says that you can go ahead and deworm. And, I'm sorry, excuse me, I take that back. Zium azim, I'll say we have a contradiction about treating tree disease. What are the brayos that we just quoted before, Rabbi Yossi said that what? You're allowed to treat tree disease on Shemitah. Or mini. Mezamin esanatios. Yeah, we'll say, so again, diktani maslinu mezamin b'shvias. We'll say, we just said before, that you can go ahead and treat tree disease on Shemitah, or mini boreis akasha, mezamin esanatios. Well, you're allowed to treat tree disease, ultimately, again, for saplings. Vikarachin osan, and you're allowed to go ahead, I will say, and literally place bandages around them, or bundle them, I should say. We'll define that later. Vikotmin osan, you're able to say, so apparently, again, for certain types of tree disease, you placed ash on the tree. Vosan lahem batin. And Abba says, you can make batim for them. What's the case of batim? So Rashi says over here, doesn't say here. There's Rashi. Am I missing it? Okay. Osam batim. Right. Gedr amma, thank you. Gedr amma, govisi, osam alon osamar. So say batim means they would essentially pack it with dirt around the root. So literally they make a structure to be able to pile up additional earth by the root. Umashkin osan ad Rosh Hashanah. And you could water them up until Rosh Hashanah. Ad Rosh Hashanah in, so we'll say, it sounds like that ad Rosh Hashanah is going on all of the things we just stated, including what? Including treating tree disease. Ad Rosh Hashanah in, b'shviyas lo. You could treat tree disease up until Rosh Hashanah, but not on the Shemitah year itself. So we'll say, have a contradiction, because the Mishnah, the Braisa we just quoted before, said you can treat tree disease even on Shemitah. Now we're saying you can't treat tree disease on Shemitah. So which one is it? To which one is Vadimah Kid Rav Ukva Barachama? Damar Rav Ukva Barachama. So maybe it's reflecting the view of Rav Ukva Barachama, because Rav Ukva Barachama said, Trei Kashkushi Habu. Both sides, interesting enough, there are two types of hoeing. Kashkushi means literally to hoe around the tree. Chad la'avriye ilana va'aser. Both sides, one type of hoeing is to go ahead and strengthen the tree. V'chad l'satume pili b'sharit. And one is to close up the cracks, the exposed cracks by the roots of the tree. So listen to this. So the type of hoeing, which is to close up the exposed cracks by the roots, that's going to be permitted. The type of hoeing, ultimately, again, that's to strengthen the tree, that's going to be asur. Hachanami, maybe you can see over here also, trei zihimumi havu. There are two types of treatment for tree disease. Chad lo'ukme ilani, one is to strengthen the tree, v'shari, and that's going to be okay. Or I should say, one is to treat the tree, to strengthen it, and that's going to be permitted. Chad la'avriya ilani v'asir, one is to cause the tree to grow more vibrant, and that is going to be asir. So we'll say, but this in general is one of the dominant features in Hilchos Shemitah. In Hilchos Shemitah, we'll say anything that is needed to treat the ground, or to treat growths, so that they don't die, will be permitted. Anything to go ahead and cause greater or enhanced vibrancy, that's gonna be usur. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over that it could have been with tree disease, that there are certain types of treating tree disease to stave off loss, that's gonna be permitted, but to go ahead and cause the tree to be more vibrant, that's gonna be usur. Vela sicha asicha kakashile. Rather, I will say no. The contradiction is as follows. Because also remember again, the Mishnah quoted before said that you could put oil on a pruned branch, and you could do that both on Chalamayit, meaning a branch that has been pruned, you could put oil on it, both on Shemitah as well as Chalamayit, or Mini Yereza Kasha, Sachin Esa Pagin. You could go ahead and put oil, both say Pagin are underdeveloped figs. Rashi says Esa Pagin, Pagi Te'ina. The sachin osan b'shemen kishen chotin kadesh yushmin. So they used to apparently smear the figs with oil, and that allowed the figs to absorb more moisture to become even juicier. So sachin esapagin, you're going to go ahead and coat the figs with oil. Umenakvin, and I will say you could pierce holes in them. Umefatmin osan. And you could fatten them up. Rashi says, "Bemalanas hanakavin shemen paginu peri ba'asla kishagadlamad." So we'll say apparently they would pierce holes and put oil not just on the outside but on the inside also. Ad Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say this is talking about Shemitah. You could do this up until Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. Ad Rosh Hashanah in b'shvius lo. So we'll say you see from here that what here you could put oil on the pagin on the figs up until Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say we assume that whatever is true by the pagin will also be true by the branches. You can also own, therefore, again, yeah, what did we just say before? You can put oil on the pruned branches, even in Rabosai, even during the Shemitah year itself. Yet it seems to be over here that the application of oil can only be done up until Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, Midan. Rabosai can't compare it. Hacha, ukum ilan of Ashari. Rabosai, by the case of putting the oil on the branch that has been pruned, Rabosai, why do you do that? You do that in order to allow the tree to have health, right? That the branch itself should not die. And therefore, that's why it's permitted. Hasam, Patume Pira, was the act of smearing the figs with oil, was that was done to fatten up the fruit. So you can do that until Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. You can't do that on Shemitah itself. Omli Rav Sambrei, Rav Ashi, Ravina, Bar Yirmiya, Sicha Demoid, Azim Demoid Kakasha. We'll say no, really, the contradiction was the smearing of the oil on the pruned branch versus the treating the tree disease on Chalamayit. So we'll say, interestingly enough, you can't treat tree disease on Chalamayit, but you can what? You can smear the oil on the pruned branch. What's the pshat with that? Michtei ha'okmi v'ha'okmi. Both of these things should be permitted. Why? Because neither of them are there to enhance growth. They're all to what? To stabilize the tree. Maishna haid the shariu, maishna haid the asr. Why is it then that the smearing of the oil on the pruned branch will be mutter, yet the treating of tree disease on chalamayit will be asr? So the Gemara says, "Hainu dekamarle les nagar velo bar nagar deparkine." We'll say this is what Rabbi said. This Mishnah is shver, right? Even a Talmud Chacham, nor the son of a Talmud Chacham, has the ability to properly go ahead and interpret it. We'll say because ultimately, again, it seems to defy interpretation. So, bottom line, the kasha that Rabbi had on Mishnah, we'll say, was why is it that it is permitted to go ahead and prune, and apply oil to the pruned branch of a tree on Chalamayit, yet what? You can't treat tree disease on Chalamayit. Both seem to serve the same purpose, Rabbosai, which is what? Which is Lamaisa, again, staving off loss, which is something which is permitted on Chalamayit. Yet again, the application of the oil to the pruned branch is permitted. The treatment of tree disease is going to be prohibited. And that's why Rabbi said, no one could interpret, not a Talmud Chacham, nor the son of a Talmud Chacham could interpret the Mishnah appropriately. So we'll say, actually the Russian others bring down, it seems there could be an answer. The answer was, it could be that Lamaisa, by Chalamayit, as we just said before, it's not just that there's an Isra Malacha, there's also an Isra Tircha. The application of oil to the prune branches could be something that doesn't involve Tircha. Masha'inkin, the treatment of tree disease could be something that involves an incredible amount of Tircha. That is a possible answer. Apparently, Rabbi must have thought of that as well. Didn't feel that was a legitimate answer. Therefore, the Mishnah is Shver. So I'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Mirtz with Amar Yehuda and Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Shvoyah.
Rabosai, three announcements, please.
Three.
Anything unnecessary off your table?